Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration is the reading just read, Jeremiah chapter 1. You may be seated. We live in a country known for its freedom. This is a truth we recognize as Independence Day now approaches. Independence Day provides the opportunity to remember the blessings bestowed upon us as citizens of this country. It is a day in which it is allowable to be proud of America, a day in which we are willing and privileged to ascribe greatness and honor and respect to this land. For most, America's greatness is usually identified with its freedom. In this country, liberty is said to be the possession of all its citizens. The possession of liberty is ensured by a constitution enshrined in a Bill of Rights. Every American holds certain rights. The right to speak and worship freely. He participates in a free market. He possesses the right to pursue happiness unhindered by government tyranny. However, as precious as such a possession of freedom may be, it is not the source of greatness for America or any other nation, for that matter. The possession of freedom, whether it is freedom of speech or freedom of religion or any other freedom, is never the end of the matter. It is never enough simply to be free or to hold the power to govern one's own life or to possess the right to choose our own course. If we are to live, if we are to progress toward the goal, if we are to become what we are meant to be, then the gift of freedom must be enacted. The possession of liberty must be put into concrete practice. The choice must be made. If we are to reach the end of our journey, then it is not enough simply to possess the power to go left or right at a fork in the road. Rather, it is necessary for a step to be taken, a road to be traveled, a destiny to be pursued. Thus, greatness, honor, and glory do not reside in the freedom we possess at our beginning, but in the exercise of that freedom that leads to a certain end. Indeed, true glory does not consist in what we count to be a right or a choice or a freedom, but in what we count to be a necessity, a demand, and a must. In our text for this day, the word of God comes to Jeremiah. Yet the word of the Lord does not speak of the freedom that Jeremiah possesses, nor does he recount the rights that Jeremiah holds. Rather, he calls Jeremiah to become precisely what he was created to be, to realize in himself the purpose for which he was formed in the womb of his mother. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you," says the Lord. "I appointed you a prophet to the nations." In other words, the word of God comes to Jeremiah not to offer him a choice, but to make a demand. He comes not to ensure Jeremiah's rights, but to call him to a necessity. And such a call, perhaps understandably, meets with Jeremiah's reluctance. "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." With these words, Jeremiah shows himself to be truly a prophet like unto Moses. The reluctance of Moses at the burning bush is now heard in Jeremiah's voice. Jeremiah recognizes the loss of freedom and the surrender of personal rights inherent in God's call. The appeal to his own youthfulness simply expresses his desire for more time. More time to pursue the course of his own choosing, more time to live the life of his own desire. Jeremiah is not ready to pursue a road dictated by this divine demand. He is reluctant to live under the burden of this divine necessity. Indeed, later in the book of Jeremiah, our prophet speaks, perhaps even with a hint of longing, that the false prophets are like the wind, for the word of God is not in them. The false prophets, in other words, speak according to the haphazard freedom of the wind, a personal freedom that Jeremiah simply will not experience. In fact, Jeremiah comments on the utter futility of his own attempts to remain silent, of his own personal choice to try and hold the word of God inside. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, says Jeremiah, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. This divine call given to Jeremiah means that Jeremiah must of necessity speak what the word of God places in his mouth. He must now pursue the road for which he was intended from the beginning. He must live the life for which he was created in the womb of his mother. In response to his reluctance, Jeremiah then receives words of comfort from the Lord. Do not say, I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. Be not afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. These words are, of course, intended to comfort Jeremiah as he takes up the burden of his divine call. They are meant to appease Jeremiah's fear and inspire his courage. No matter how burdensome the journey, Jeremiah will surely benefit from the strength and power of the Almighty God. And there is surely great comfort here in a contemplation of God's power and strength. However, in these words, a deeper mystery lies hidden. I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. In this promise, the Word of God does not reveal himself as the one who stands above the burden being shouldered by Jeremiah. He is not here the God of transcendent power who promises an ultimate escape from the heavy necessity that now confronts the prophet. Rather, the Word of God reveals himself here as the one who joins Jeremiah under the burden, who now condescends to his human weakness. He is the God who certainly possesses a transcendent freedom, but whose glory now consists in the exercise of that freedom. Indeed, his glory consists in subjecting himself to the very same necessity that governs the prophet's life. Indeed, dear friends, properly speaking, it is not the word of God who will join Jeremiah as he bears his burden, but rather it is Jeremiah who is now called to share in a burden that most properly belongs to the only begotten Word of the Father. This divine call to confront sin and to condemn the faithless and to stand against the enemy and to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant is a call that may belong for a time to Jeremiah, but it belongs most truly to Christ our Lord. Jeremiah in our text is not only a prophet like unto Moses, but also a prophet who bears within himself the very image and likeness of Christ himself. Jesus is the true prophet who condescends to human flesh and blood in order to shoulder this burden of our sin and our death. In Jesus' rejection at Nazareth, the gospel reading for the Lord's day that now approaches, Jesus shows himself to be the Son of Man who must suffer many things. Indeed, throughout the gospels, Jesus speaks about the necessity that governs his own life. He who possesses this transcendent freedom to do what he wills binds himself to a burden, submits himself to a necessity. Jesus must suffer many things. The little word must indicates that a freedom has already been exercised. Our Lord's choice has already been made. A turn in the road has already been taken. The destiny of the cross is already being pursued. Indeed, dear friends, he has been shouldering this burden, the burden of his love for mankind, since the foundation of the world. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. In the gospel, the word of the Father comes to you and to me, and he calls us also to share in this burden of his cross. The gospel does not free us to be whatever we want to be. It frees us now to become what God has created us to be. The gospel does not give us rights we possess. It now calls us to a divine necessity that we must bear. In America, we give thanks that we possess great freedom to pursue many roads. But in Christ, we are now called to exercise that freedom, to exercise it in the pursuit of that road that leads to Jerusalem. We are called to that life that endures sin, that confronts temptation, that battles the devil and his lies, that bears the shame of the cross. And yet, dear friends, we find the burden light and the yoke easy, because in this yoke we now enjoy the fellowship of Jeremiah, of prophets and apostles, of saints and martyrs. Indeed, we rejoice in the presence of Christ himself under the burden, who is with us to deliver us. For while we must endure sin, we rejoice in Christ's forgiveness of our sins. And while we must confront temptation, we rejoice in Christ's victory. And while we must face the necessity of death, we do so in the joy and hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And so we live in a country known for its freedom. However, it is in Christ and his kingdom, it is in his church, that our freedom is perfected. True freedom is not found merely in a constitution or enshrined in a Bill of Rights. Rather, true freedom is manifested in the cross, secured in the resurrection. For in his voluntary passion, we enjoy a true and lasting freedom, a divine freedom. For now we are free. Free to become what God intends us to be. Free to bear the cross. Free to sacrifice our rights to serve our neighbor. Free, finally, to lay down our lives for our beloved. To Christ our beloved be all the glory, now and forever. Amen.